Hey there, hi there, ho there. I'm Dave Rowe.
And I'm Jock Wilson.
And he's Dave McIver, our special guest here on the final edition of the Calgary Stampeder podcast as we look back on the 2019 season. And let me say the final episode for the year. This is going to be our final regular Thursday installment. Keep checking back in because periodically, as the Stamps news and CFL news breaks in the offseason, we'll be back with updates on that.
And I do want to thank Valentine Volvo for helping us out all season long, Dave. They've been our sponsor of the Calgary Stampeder podcast, and we couldn't do it without them, so big shout out to our title sponsor.
Yay, Valentine Volvo. Yes. Guys, let's start off with looking back on Grey Cup 2019. Obviously, the Stampeders weren't in it, but you know, my saying all the time leading up to the Grey Cup was, the city needs a win. The city needed a win with the festival, with the business end of things, with a full stadium. Dave McIver, what's your take? City get a win?
City got a win. I was actually down at the Grey Cup Fest on Saturday, went right during the afternoon, and you know, what a setup, first things first. Great little spot for it. Everything nice and tight together, and then obviously everything being in the BMO Center was just awesome. I thought the energy was there. They had live music, you know, the pancake breakfasts every morning. Heard the rodeo was packed and enjoyable, and you know, it's very Calgary, but hey, we put on a very Calgary show, and it was great from all accounts, from what I saw.
I was disappointed with a couple of things. Number one, I was disappointed the game wasn't sold out. Now, I get it. Calgary's economy sucks right now, and the tickets, you know, were priced, you know, fairly high. So from that standpoint, it was disappointing. I will also say, hey, we get it. McMahon Stadium is not a great facility to watch a game in. So that was an issue, and the fact that the Calgary Stampeders weren't in the game. So I think there were some variables why the game didn't sell out. I was a little disappointed with our Royal Canadian Air Force because what happened to the other jets? You know, only one jet with the flyover, like, was our other jet in
budget
the shot.
Budget cuts, Jock. Budget cuts. Yeah.
So, but most importantly, I was disappointed the game wasn't more compelling.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, I thought it was going to be so close. I, like many, thought the Hamilton Tiger Cats were going to win that game. But I tell you what, we saw the headline, you know, that Hamilton picked the wrong time to come up with a stinker. Didn't we say the same thing after the Western semifinal against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers here in Calgary with the Stampeders? Maybe we should just give credit to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers because they were obviously the best team not only in this game, but the best team in the playoffs.
And you had to give credit to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Just before we get to that, I just wanted to give my take on a couple of things about the Grey Cup Festival. I was a bit skeptical about locating everything down at Stampede Park, but that in the end was the right decision. You know, people were able to get down there centrally. I saw some of the outdoor stuff up close, and you know, thank God they had good weather for that, because that made the outdoor festival a success. There was also the indoor family stuff and the team houses. I was at the alumni luncheon, which was a huge, huge success. So, you know, the whole event, from an event planning standpoint, I thought it was a real hit.
I want to add one more thing. I thought the halftime show was knocked out of the park.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a country music fan. I'm not a Keith Urban fan. I had some friends in from the Netherlands. They didn't know who Keith Urban was, as a matter of fact, but they thought the halftime show was brilliant as well.
I had one issue with the halftime show, and that was the fact only half the stadium could see the front of the stage.
Fair enough,
I will give credit to Edmonton when, you know, Grey Cup 106 was going on. They put Alessia Cara down in the end zone. Yeah, we were sitting, you know, at the other side of the stadium, but you saw the show, and I felt like fans got a little bit robbed on that
should
side.
Should have been around stage.
Yeah,
then you can talk to, you know, sing to both.
Yeah, it was a first-class production.
Oh,
in terms of television, though.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, Keith Urban's no Luba.
No.
No blue rodeo.
We had blue rodeo here in 2009, baby.
But yeah, as for the game itself, again, I mean, I saw the commissioner the morning of the game, and he just says, hey, I'm cheering for a 38-38 game with a minute to go, and I don't care who wins. And of course, you know, that's what you want when your team's not in it. But just, you know, from a football standpoint, wow, I might not be a fan of Mike O'Shea personally, but did he draw up a brilliant, brilliant game plan in all three phases of the game? Special teams I thought were mostly a saw-off, but especially in terms of offense and defense. Defensively, the defensive line was right up on. They made Dane Evans look like a rookie quarterback for the first time. He had no time to get rid of the ball, no chance to work his checkdowns because of the pressure that he was under all day long. They got to him, they got him flustered, they got him off their game. And again, offensively, absolutely brilliant. You know, the use of Andrew Harris on the game, the balance between a pass and run. Winnipeg was set for this game.
You're right. The only major Hamilton scored was because of their fake punt, which was executed to perfection, as far as I'm concerned. That was the only play that made Hamilton fans, I think, a little bit excited. Mm-hmm. You know, but the three turnovers in the first quarter, you knew at that point it was game, set, and match.
When Brandon Banks goes down with an injury.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that was it. I thought when Banks went down, you know, that's the MOP. You know, that's pretty much it. Because you base your game plan around guys like that, right? And you have one game, you know, it's tough to adjust, you know, at halftime. Or, you know, when he went down, it's tough for coaching staffs to make that adjustment. And unfortunately for Hamilton, it did bite them by the end of the game.
So a success from a business standpoint, from a football game standpoint, could have been better. But, you know, again, full credit to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for putting it together as dominant a performance as they did. So a hearty well done to all involved here. But now...
And now it's up to Regina, see what they can do next year.
I think it's going to be pretty fun in Regina. Again, the only question with Regina is...
Well, they've got a great stadium.
Yeah, but...
they got that covered.
But, you know, can you get... to the fun, because I mean, Jock, you were you've been in Saskatchewan for the Grey Cup. There has been more hotel construction,
but not
in
Regina. Not downtown hotels.
And if
you really want to enjoy Grey Cup festivity, last year in Edmonton, perfect example. You know, this year in Calgary, perfect example. You want to be downtown, and you know, so many people have to stay either in Airbnbs or on the outskirts of town, and that makes it tougher. You know, and I do believe they have Uber now in Regina.
I don't know that, but I know that speaking from personal experience. We were in Regina this summer for a wedding at the same time as Big Valley Jamboree. It's not called that here. It's the Saskatchewan Craven, it's called.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be on the south side of the city to be close to this wedding. The only room we could find was in the north side of the city.
Is that right?
And like you say, hotels could be a tough sell or a tough find next year for Grey Cup 108.
Yeah, that being said, it's going to be a full house and it's going to be a bash. And
was this the last Grey Cup in Calgary at McMahon Stadium?
I hope so. I got to confess, like Jock, you and I talked about this when the game was first awarded here, because that was still on the heels, the Calgary Next fiasco was still fairly fresh, and I was a little bit surprised actually that Calgary got a Grey Cup, given the fact, I mean, and Randy Abrosi came out and said it, you know, this stadium is not up to standard in terms of of hosting a Grey Cup game, and you know, I want to see a new stadium get built somehow, some way, and if this is the last Grey Cup at McMahon Stadium in its current incarnation, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Well, sorry, go ahead.
I just don't see how. I was surprised when they got this one. You know, I thought the last Grey Cup in Calgary was the last one they were going to get, so I'm with you. I just can't see, you know, with the stadium selection they have in the league now, that they come back to Calgary and try it another go.
I don't think it will be, because I don't think we're going to be getting a new stadium anytime soon here in Calgary, and I do like the fact that the CFL does, move it around. I'll say this. I thought, you know, with the stadium that has its challenges, I like what the Stampeders did by adding those corporate suites in the end zone. I thought the building looked very, very, very good from that standpoint. You know, hey, do they need some upgrades to the stadium? Yes, they've got to blow out the concourse. They got to do something. I'm not an engineer, but I would hope that kind of thing could be done. The sight lines of McMahon are very, very good, but you know, I think if you can somehow take it down to about a 30,000 seat facility, take out some of those seats in the end zone, put in the grassy knolls where just family areas can consider something like that.
You know, party area in the end zone.
Exactly. But then maybe just, you know, I don't know structurally, you know, if you can do it or not, but could you somehow blow out that concourse area and redo it? Would that be a better fix than actually spending a whole bunch of money on a new stadium, which I just don't think is going to happen in my lifetime?
If it could be done, and if it could be done right, open the concourse to the field, which is, you know, what a modern stadium needs. Have the, as we call them, the millennial areas where you can, you know, just gather and have fun. You know, Ottawa, Regina, Winnipeg. That shows you just how much that adds to the in-game experience. If an engineer tells me that you can redo McMahon and bring it up to more of a modern standard, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
it's the millennial on the podcast, I'm telling you, like, I got buddies who haven't been to games in 2 or 3 years, not because they don't watch CFL football, not because they don't think the CFL game is a bad product, but because they do not want to go sit in McMahon Stadium. And that's unfortunate. So you're right. If they can find some ways to improve and renovate again, I'm all for it.
So we know where Grey Cup next year is going to be. We obviously don't know who is going to be in it or what the league is going to look like next year. I mean, if last offseason was any indication, it is going to be nuts out there come free agency in February. It's already getting off to a pretty quick start here. I mean, Devon Claybrook's fired. Jason Moss fired. Rick Campbell steps away from his job because of a broken relationship with his general manager. So you've got a third of the league looking for new head coaches, and there's going to be talent out there. We're already hearing reports that Mark Killam, Ryan Dinwiddie are on a couple of teams' radars. Pete Costanza, the longtime receivers coach, mutual parting of the ways with the club. And I guess it had to happen sometime. This coaching staff for the Calgary Stampeders has been more or less intact for a long time. That's been one of the strengths of the team. But, you know, given the football operations cap, given the fact that people have career aspirations, you can't keep it together forever.
One of the nicest additions the Calgary Stampeders did last year when they lost Devon Claybrooks, they brought in J.C. Sheridan. It was just, you know, a fresh face and new blood and new ideas, and that was good. And so, you know, hey, you and I both have a lot of respect for Pete Costanza, but hey, he'd been around for 12 years, and sometimes you do need that fresh face and that new blood and those new ideas. So I think it's just one of those things. And, you know, you're right. Could they lose Ryan Dinwiddie to Ottawa? I don't think Ryan's ready for it to be a head coach at this point. But maybe
offensive coordinator, maybe
as an offensive coordinator and takes Nick Arbuckle with him, as we've discussed before on this podcast with Danny Austin. So, you know, those things are all in play. I'm not so much worried about, you know, the coaching staffs. I'm more worried about, you know, what's happening on the field. What did Randy Ambrosi say? You know, it's a Monday morning meeting where, you know, we got to look at this NFL window, because could you imagine if the Calgary Stampeders lose Reggie Bagleton, Trey Roberson, Nate Hawley to the NFL this year? Mm-hmm. These are all part of that young core that the Calgary Stampeders are building on and the fans are, you know, getting all excited about. And, you know, the Stampeders do have one of the youngest teams in the league. But boy, if they lose, Dave, you know, some of these young players, I think that's going to be a real blow.
It's scary, to be honest. Like, you know, if you're a Stampeders fan, you're looking at this and going, well, those are three of our best players this year. One's an outstanding rookie, one's an all-star, and one, I would say, is a good, you can make a good argument, the best receiver in the league this year. So those are three guys who, you know, could be gone. I don't like the NFL window. I don't, you know, you guys might have the answer to this. I don't know how this was worked into the CBA or, you know.
The players obviously like it.
I get that. But how the, you know, the GMs and the owners let that happen is beyond me.
I got the impression that it caught everybody by surprise, because this came up at the commissioner's state of the league address. And that was, you know, Jock had the line, this is going to be a Monday morning issue. And, you know, I got the feeling that the business end of the Canadian Football League was kind of caught off guard by this, that, you know, somehow there was some wording in there that no one thought opened the door to this NFL window. I mean, I'm hearing that they might find a way to close it with the support of the NFL, because, you know, the NFL, because this has happened before, the NFL is going, wait, these guys are under contract. We don't want to be messing around with guys that are under contract with a team in another
respect
league.
Respect the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I understand the NFLPA may have a little issue with it too.
Yes. Which would again be around contracting. So I would love to see it sorted out. So a contract is a contract, because stability is so important when it comes to marketing a team to marketing stars. Even with free agency last year, it was great. It was like fun to talk about. I'm not sure it was the best thing for the league. When you look at the Ottawa Redblacks, their season ended in 45 minutes.
They got gutted.
In February, when they got absolutely gutted. Edmonton had huge turnover. BC with too much turnover. Calgary lost a lot of talent. And if that NFL window, if you add that in there as well, it's just going to be a revolving door. And that's not good for the league. I mean, you know, in Calgary, the saying is, in Huff we trust, because John Huffnagel has shown the uncanny ability to keep that pipeline of talent coming in. But, you know, sooner or later, you have to wonder, is he going to run out of magic?
The other quirk, cost-cutting measure that I don't like heading into this offseason, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out next year, is only the two quarterbacks on the roster. Not having that third quarterback, that development position, you know, sure, you can still try to keep a quarterback around on the practice roster, but, you know, does a quarterback want to stick around for that kind of money? Maybe, but I would say in a lot of cases, probably not. And, you know, I think that could be a real issue, because what was 2019? 2019 was the year of the backup quarterback, and you know, because you had that development system in play, we saw some great storylines in the Canadian Football League this year. You know, that storyline could be gone, because is Montel Cozart ready to be the backup quarterback here in Calgary? I'm not sure he is. He's a different type of quarterback than Bo Levi Mitchell, but you know, I think to me that's going to be something to watch.
Yeah, I think it hurts the ability for a chance to get a good Canadian quarterback developed, right? What mm-hmm. do you usually see? A Canadian quarterback who's played in U Sports comes in and is usually your third string guy. Maybe he is on the practice squad. You're immediately eliminating that chance, because, you know, we've seen in the past few years, the chances of a Canadian quarterback, you know, being a top two guy is pretty, pretty thin. And taking that extra spot away, that makes it even harder.
And as we've seen time and time again, it takes years to develop a Canadian quarter or a CFL quarterback, wherever that quarterback is from. You know, these guys, they come into the league. Again, let's look at the Calgary Stampeders. Dave Dickinson was a third string quarterback. Jeff Garcia was a third string quarterback. Henry Burris was a third string quarterback. You know, the first year I covered the CFL, Bo Levi Mitchell was a third stringer. Tracy Hamm was the third string quarterback in Edmonton, you know, the first year that I started covering the CFL. So that is going to be one policy that is going to demand a rethink.
And to Jock's point, do we really want to get in a situation next year where we have a Rob Maver game where, you know, it'll be fun to watch a couple plays of Rob Maver, but if two quarterbacks go down, that's your option. That's the guy going in. Do you really want to, do fans want to watch that?
The kid can spit a football.
He throws it well. I've been on that sideline. Yeah. But, you know, is that a situation you want to be in, you know, long-term or for three or four quarters? I don't.
Dave, and Dave McIver I'm talking to here now, I like what you bring up about the Canadian quarterback, because, you know, we've seen Andrew Buckley here in Calgary, you know, Michael O'Connor drafted last year by, you know, the Toronto Argonauts. I'd love to see these guys get a chance.
Adam Sinagra is going to be drafted
this
year.
And that's where I was just going to throw to you, because Adam Sinagra, Heck Creighton Trophy winner, Vanier Cup, you know, MVP, you know, obviously he wants to play pro football. He wants to do it on his merit. He was at the Stampeders camp a couple of years ago with that internship program. He was in Edmonton's camp, you know, this year. You know, does Adam Sinagra even get a chance if there's only two quarterbacks on the roster?
Yeah, that is going to be a problem, because, again, it just comes down to the time it takes to develop a quarterback. I mean, you know, look at Andrew Buckley. Mm-hmm. He moved up to number two on the depth chart probably a year ahead of, I think, when he should have been. You know, he could still handle himself out on the field, but capable to come in and run a full game plan, maybe not. But, you know, I would have loved to have seen Dr. Buckley, you know, just to see how he could develop as a CFL quarterback. Adam Sinagra is going to be an interesting case. So he's got the tools. He's got the knowledge of three-down big field football, but how is that going to translate to the speed of the game at the pro level? How much time is he going to be given O'Connor, you know, a Chris Merchant out of Western? Are we going to see these guys get the real shot? And again, and you've started to see it in the last few years, you know, the push for Canadian quarterbacks. It's finally starting to get some traction, and this could be a real setback.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. How long have we always wanted to see a good Canadian be a good Canadian quarterback in the Canadian Football League? A long time. And you're right, Dave. It scares me a little bit that you're losing that development. Brad Sinopoli is another great example of, you know, even if you're not going to make it as a quarterback, some of these guys can play other positions, and you're eliminating that.
Any other big issues that you're looking at for the CFL on the offseason?
Well, you know, I look back at 2019 for the Calgary Stampeders, and, you know, we can talk about, you know, the defections to the NFL. We can talk about the free agent signing elsewhere. We can talk about the, you know, the players retiring. And this year we've had the one retirement from Brandon Smith. But I really look back at the Calgary Stampeders of 2019, and I look at it as the year of the injury. Now, we've had injuries, you know, in this city before. You know, I think every single team goes through the injuries. But what is going to happen with guys like, you know, Junior Turner and Brad Erdos and, you know, Cordero Law, you know, because they're getting a little older in age, you know.
Corey Greenwood,
another perfect example. And, you know, just how many of these guys are going to say, I've had enough, I don't want to play anymore because my body's just too beat up? Are, you know, what are the Stampeders even going to do to try to minimize the number of injuries? Because they did lead the way this year with man games lost in the Canadian Football League. So it's quite interesting. So that's something that I'm going to certainly watch in the offseason.
My concern is what I think a lot of people are concerned about, and that is the run game. And it's going to be another, you know, possible big turnover this year.
Sign James Wilder Jr.
I got no issue with that. But, yep. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that does happen for, you know, Stampeder fans when free agency does kick off. But you look, Jock, I listened to, you know, every one of your, you know, half hour with the coach. It was almost a reoccurring theme every week was, you know, run game, run game, run game. You saw it on social media. You saw it in the papers. You heard it on the radio. This team's got to find a way to run the ball better because Bo's not going to do it. And we can all stop thinking that he's going to run the ball because he's not going to. And that, I thought, hurt them, especially, you know, in the West semifinal when Chris Dreveler's running all over you and, you know, you can't answer that. And that's my biggest concern heading into the offseason.
Well, the Stampeders, just to follow that up, the Stampeders can't play three internationals on the offensive line next year. I'm firmly convinced of that. Yeah. And if that is the case, then they're going to be in trouble again, you know, from that perspective, Dave. So I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have, that has been a strength of the Calgary Stampeders is, you know, when you have the guys like the Alex Singletons, when you have that strength on the offensive line, when you have the depth at receiver, is it gives you so much flexibility in the Canadian ratio. And that is something that's going to need to be addressed. Guys, it's been a great season here. So many great topics, so much to discuss. Thanks to the Calgary Stampeders and the Canadian Football League for never having a dull moment and giving us a lot to talk about. Thanks to everyone who's been downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. So those numbers are starting to come up. Thank you very much. We love talking Stampeders. We love talking CFL. And we love that you guys are liking what we do. Give us the feedback. Give us the story ideas. Let us know what you want this podcast to be.
And if there's a couple of off-season story ideas you want us to talk about or some people you want us to track down, we can certainly do that too.
Dave McIver, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Jock Wilson, thanks for doing this.
Dave Rowe, you're a rock star.
Yes, I am. And so, hey, check in periodically, the Calgary Stampeders podcast. When there's Stampeder news to talk about, we will be talking to them about it in the off season. And of course, next year, country. Thanks a lot for this.